and followed the dog out onto the porch. The screen door slapped shut behind them. Binti hesitated at the top of the steps and whined. Liz picked the dog up and carried her down. Binti arched her neck and slurped Liz's nose, then Stutter stepped to the curb and lowered her behind, her back legs trembling. Liz approached Miss Richards's car. She ran a finger along the fender, leaving a white streak in a coating that was the color of the toadstools that grew in the yard, where an oak had been blown over by Hurricane Charlie. Lucky for Miss Richards, car inspections were considered government overreach in South Carolina, because that car would never have passed muster in New Jersey. The license plate said it all. POJNK. Was it a vanity plate, or just serendipitous irony? Liz circled the car. There was a sticker on the back window. She lowered her glasses so she could see what it said. University of South Carolina. A student? Or maybe an employee? Liz sat on one of the wide porch steps. She gazed back at the house she'd moved back into when she'd split with Brad. Vanessa had just turned 4. Since then, Liz had grown more tolerant of her mother's quirks and limitations, her perfect hair and calibrated judgments. Miss Sorrell had never been a particularly warm or physically affectionate mother to Liz, but she'd made up for that with the care and attention she'd lavished on Vanessa. Vanessa had been desperately upset, bewildered at having to leave their nice split-level suburban home in New Jersey and her friends. Liz hadn't been able to see beyond her own anger at Brad. Child support dried up barely a year after the divorce, so Liz had had no choice but to come home. Tail between her legs, she'd crawled back to Bon Secours. She'd told herself it was temporary. Miss Sorrell had thrown herself into taking care of Vanessa. Maybe it was because having Vanessa and Liz there helped her feel less alone after Woody's death. Or maybe it was Miss Sorrell's second chance. Vanessa had been the same age as Janie when she'd disappeared. With her fine, fair hair and pale complexion, Vanessa resembled Janie. Whatever the reason, Miss Sorrell went to every one of Vanessa's dance recitals, school plays, track meets, and softball games. Came with Liz to Augusta to cheer Vanessa on as she pitched her team to a Dixie League district championship.
"She's no trouble at all," Miss Sorrell used to say of Vanessa, even when Vanessa was a surly, hormone-riddled teen. "It's as if God sent her to me."
Of course, God had nothing to do with the reason Liz had had to move home. It was Brad, who couldn't keep his pants zipped. Liz still stung with humiliation, remembering the phone call that ended her marriage. She couldn't even recall why she'd called Brad at work that day. The receptionist had answered. Brad was on the phone. Did Liz want to wait? They'd gotten to chatting, as they often did. Brad's job had him frequently tied up on the phone.
"You always sound so nice, Mrs. Stringer."
Then there'd been a long pause. Later, Liz wondered if the woman had stopped to consider what she was about to do, the thing that put a hairpin turn in Vanessa's life.
"I can connect you now,"
she'd said with a little too much forced cheer, or so it seemed in retrospect. Click. Then,
that sounds interesting.
A woman's soft, warm voice.
"We'll have to try it that way."
Liz had felt herself flush, and she almost hung up, thinking there'd been a mistake. But the chuckling she heard in response was oh so familiar. Then the voice she knew by heart said,
"Think about it. Maybe sometime this weekend. I'll call you if I can escape."
"I miss you."
"I miss you too, honey buns."
Honey buns? Liz had stared open-mouthed at the receiver. Honeybuns was Brad's pet name for Liz. Later, she laughed about it. She'd always known the guy hadn't an original thought in his pea brain. But at the time, she'd found herself on her knees, doubled over and silently sobbing, the receiver on the floor beside her. Weeks later, she was in the kitchen of the house she and Brad had already put on the market.